The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
It's so nice to hear that again, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. It is so good to be back.
I know. I'm so happy. And me back means a lot because I have been like out of the loop for quite some time. I did Remaking History. It was my first one back from like a month and a half off. And now, yay, Gotham, after a couple of hiccups with my intranets. But yeah, I was trying to save Gotham and, you know. There was just no saving it. So I came home and decided to. So anyway, hi, everyone. This is Gotham Undercover. I am Karen, the Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And this is episode 90.
Woohoo!
We're going to hit 100. That's great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we are part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover. So we're back with the season premiere. You want to tell us
indeed.
A little bit about it?
We are in year zero. Mm-hmm. And this one was written by John Stevens, who's an EP on Gotham. And he's done writing work on Gossip Girl, OC, and Gilmore Girls. And it was directed by co-creator Danny Cannon.
Yay, Danny Cannon. Mm-hmm. And we did have a cinematic feel to it, which he loves doing that. And again, Gotham is more like a cinematic show than a lot of other shows on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Because of how, you know, gothic the city is. And it just seemed really like full of that dramaticism that Danny does and John. So I loved having these two vets back on this premiere. They did a bang up job, I thought. It could have been a little tighter, but I think it was a really solid premiere.
Definitely. I thought, after watching Titans recently and coming into this, it was nice, you know, a similar feel, a darker feel, but a tight writing feel, a character driven feel. And so it was nice to come, you know, back into the Gotham world.
Right. And I think our ratings were tempered a little bit because I feel like it's going to ramp up.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, so we're on the same wavelength here. You want to give yours first?
I gave it 8.5. Man, it's nice to have a billionaire around.
Thank you, Harvey. I loved him. He was so acerbic in this episode. I gave it 8.5 downed copters. And there's a bit of a mystery around that downed copter, isn't there?
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we will, definitely. And the billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is really large and in charge, isn't he?
Yes, indeed.
He's handling things. And he's got his priorities at home, quote unquote. And he still manages to go out and do a little crime fighting-ish. He's mostly the do-gooder in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of a Boy Scout than he is when he grows up, definitely, in this episode. So
yeah, but definitely shades of Batman there.
Yeah, with, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no prisoners taken by him. Okay, so our discussion titles are, A Story is The Inmates Are Running the Asylum. That's pretty much covering all of the baddies and what's going on in Gotham, you know, Gotham as the character Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
And then the B story is, I don't want to live on this planet anymore. A line from Herbert Farnsworth from Futurama. But this is taking on Selena, who tried to kill herself in this episode, and Tabby, who actually succeeded. And I think it was kind of a suicide kamikaze run. She had said that she wasn't getting out. So I don't want to live on the planet anymore as them. And then Good Samaritan, Bad City is from the phone call that Gordon gets. That he gets in, I guess, warning him that there are things coming, that there are people outside the city. And I wanted to devote a whole storyline title to that because I think there's a lot of potential in that storyline.
Right. Let's go ahead and hit that one we kind of bookended the episode with shortwave conversations of vastly different means.
Yeah, definitely.
We get this first one of him talking to this government guy, and they're just basically telling him no without telling him no.
Right. And I love how he says, just tell us we're on our own, and then it's just silence.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, because he's not authorized to say anything, you know, like that. But, you know, he's got that to start. And then at the end, he gets this shortwave call. And
we get that shortwave whine, which I loved.
And it was so cool because the voice sounds young. It sounds like somebody young, but it's instilling that hope that, yes, there are people across the river who are going to help you. We're here for you. But they won't reveal who they are.
Right.
And so it's like, is that leading them on? Is that real? Who is it? And, you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm really wondering who that is. I haven't seen a whole lot of speculation. Have you seen?
No, I haven't either. And that's the interesting thing, because if we didn't have the fact that we had our proto Harley Quinn in there, you know, spying on the
echoes in the city.
Right. Echo in the city there, you know, looking over the map, I would have said, oh, it's, you know, it's somebody trying to fool with them. But I'm like, why would, you know, they wouldn't be there. But that, you know, that led me to think, OK, who could this be? Who's trying to bring them aid? So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Do you think it's someone that we kind of know, even if we've never seen them on the show? Do you think it's someone we know?
I just don't know. I mean, that's the fun part. I mean, I like the fact that even though we have sort of seen where things are going at the beginning of this episode, we don't know everything, and we don't know how things are going to ramp, you know, one way or the other, because like I said in the blog post, we just don't know at this point if we're going to have more time jumps back and forth, or we're just going to jump forward, or what's going to go on.
Well, they've said we're going to go forward 10 years, but are we going to go forward in little increments?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that we're a couple months in, because we can just jump right in. They gave us a last year on Gotham that was fairly comprehensive. I like that. And I love how we just jump in, and it's already established that people have taken over sectors of the city. There's still confusion. I mean, it's early enough that there's still areas that people don't know about, as evidenced by the little kid that comes running into the precinct near the end.
Yeah.
They don't know what he's gone through. They don't know, as in physically, where he's gone through. They don't know what's in those areas of the city. So we can see that they have a handle on some of the parts because of those players like Penguin and the Sirens and Scarecrow have asserted themselves in those sectors, which is dumb because, you know, why out yourself?
It's just very interesting, and I love the fact, the little details that I got on my second watch of the fact that, you know, when we start off, we're at day 391. So right. we're, you know, like a year and a month later. And on that second watch, I noticed that there inside, there is no electricity. It is all candlelight
yep.
and fires.
All dark. Yep. They've been yeah. cut off from everything.
Right. So, and
unless
so
there's a power plant that they can run independently, they're out. And as far as we can see, they don't have one that can run the city. And so it's just mayhem, because of course darkness, as Scarecrow says, fear lives in darkness.
Right.
And you also have that unknown quality to it, where they just, because it's so dark and so cut off, they can't even get a handle on what's going on inside the city.
Right. And it's not settled either, because you know, Jim talks about how that Mr. Freeze and Firefly are up north, but they're fighting. So, you know, there's still, you know, people are, you know, still vying for turf, and right. things are not settled at all.
Yeah. And I assume that's because the conditions are such that you can't really do your best work the way it is. Like Freeze, he runs on power. He needs power.
Yeah.
So of course he's going to have some trouble. Firefly as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're fighting handicapped essentially. Whereas Penguin doesn't need that. So,
well, and see, the thing is, it shows you character of who Penguin is, but it also shows you that this is still, even though it's 3 months in, it's early days.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is not realizing that, I mean, he's living like he would normally, you know, but he's not realizing that he really has to provide some food for his workers, or it's ultimately going to cost him.
Right. Yeah. I think it may be that, you know, the stores have run dry for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where he is. I mean, if you think about it, perhaps he could have that much food and water as the villain that he is, like, you know, stockpiles of. But, you know, mm-hmm. after a year, you're going to run out of stuff.
Right. And, well, I mean, you know, it's very interesting, because he's so light on it. I mean, even giving the overcooked steak to his dog
right.
when
to
Edward.
He's living in his own mind. I mean, he has his own thinking on where he stands.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as we know, I mean, he's disconnected. He is grandiose. He believes himself to be more powerful than he is. Mind you, he's got a lot of power right now.
Right.
But he also needs other people, like the Sirens. I mean, he needs mm-hmm. what they can give him. And he also needs supplies. So I think he's coming around to that. I think it's going to take a couple
right.
of episodes before we see that he's becoming more desperate, though.
Well, and I, like I said, I love the contrast, because you see, as we get further on in the episode, when we're 3 months in, he's not realizing that, but there at the, you know, the year and some in, you're seeing, you know, Penguin and Riddler and Jim and Harvey all working together to defend.
Right.
And so you see that things are going to change, but what pushes him that way is what's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's really going to be insane, I think. Penguin has that armory, and like he said to Jim, I'm managing this part of the city for you.
Mm-hmm.
I know you can't arrest me. I mean, you can't, you're just understaffed. And, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Yeah.
He does say, you know, I'm handling this. You need me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a way he's right. He does have a bit of a handle on his sector. He just, you know, it's going to spiral if he doesn't take control.
Right.
So, and then we have Riddler.
Mm.
And it's Riddler for most of the time, right?
Yeah.
So he's blacking out, Ed is blacking out and becoming Riddler, and Riddler is taunting Ed.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like Riddler is in control in the day and Ed takes over at night, and Riddler doesn't know what Ed is doing. He's going to these spots kind of in, you know, a circle around his home base, but Riddler has no clue what's going on, and he cannot get Ed to come out as much as he tries.
Right. And Ed still hasn't shown his face.
But, you know, it's interesting because this, I think there's a more of a separation now because of dying and being brought back by Hugo.
Yeah.
And then that really leads you to ask the question, okay, if this is the case for Ed, what's going on with Lee?
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, because we got no Lee this episode.
No Lee and no Jerome.
Right.
Those were the two major players we didn't see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we get a mention of Mr. V.
Right.
But
he just didn't appear is all.
Right. Yeah. And so, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what role that she's going to play there and what has changed because of what Hugo has done.
Yeah. I think that this is going to be a pretty fast turn where the Riddler takes over and he just becomes the Riddler. That's my speculation. Is that he's going to finally contact Idiot Ed and expunge him.
Mm.
And that's going to be his arc for the season. And then once he becomes Riddler, I think that's when he's going to assert some dominance over the city.
Yeah.
So I hope that happens fast because I think this, you know, dual personality thing isn't going to serve him well.
No.
Yeah, he's not able to really make a mark on the city this way because he can't. He's focused on Idiot Ed when he's Riddler, and then he blacks out to become Ed. So, you know, how is that going to help him to do anything in the city? It's not. I mean, he finds himself in a dumpster, you know. It's not great. So I'm hoping he just loses Ed and becomes the Riddler, or merges the two.
Yeah.
Either way, I think that would be a better character arc for him, even if it's just a short one, and then we have the Riddler for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like we said, we saw Echo.
Yep.
Doing some planning.
Yeah, and here's my thoughts on this, is we have the RPG that takes down the helicopter.
Yeah.
And, you know, Penguin says, listen, if it was me, I would let you know.
Right.
But he brings up the point, I would have to known it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that's Echo's first time to the GCPD.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And so I think it's really Jeremiah, you know, bringing in, you know, spying, laying low, getting the lay of the land, and, you know, quietly building his base off everybody's radar.
Right.
But still calling.
That would be kind of a mirror to the reason we didn't see him in the episode.
Right.
Is that he is doing his planning, which, you know, the Joker does.
Mm-hmm.
He loves a good plan. And I could see where he and Echo are kind of, you know, working on this on the down low sort of thing in order to. And he knows that if he figures out the territories and all that before the GCPD, he's got a leg up.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice that no one really came forward and said, yeah, I shot it down, so it's my stuff. It was like everyone, all of those three groups converged on it after it had been shot down. So I don't think he shot it down in order to get the stuff.
No, he was just causing chaos.
Right, because again, he likes a good plan, but he also likes just utter chaos. And so, you know, shooting that down would be, well, the GPD called it in. I'm going to shoot it down. They can fight for it. And that's a very Joker thing to do. I think that's a good theory that he shot it down.
Right. And to me, you know, shooting it down really makes it more visible to the outside world, because if they had snuck in and gotten a supply run off, then it would be more doable for the future. But since, you know, this thing got downed, it's going to be harder for them to do that in the future, like Jim says.
They're
going to
hesitate, yeah. Yeah. And, of course, that means that their asset, the copter, is also gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he probably has 10 others, but it's still, it's a resource that's off the playing board.
Right.
And, that makes for, again, more chaos. So, and more scrambling to find out, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get more supplies the next time?
Mm-hmm.
Lucius actually says, okay, so we have 6 months of stuff instead of one, but it's still not going to be enough.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's definitely a hint at, we got to work this out somehow. We got to, and, you know, if it's Bruce, that's great, but we really have to find some solution to everything. And I love that Gordon says, you don't have to ask to help anymore. Your help is welcome.
Right.
It's that first step into, you know, just show up and help us whenever you can.
Mm-hmm.
Batman territory.
Right. And I loved, you know, even off screen, we got to see Bruce taking out Scarecrow's goons one by one in a very, you know, Batman fashion.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, we got to see that kind of hidden to Jim's eyes view of him stepping up. But we also got him stepping up in visible ways to Jim's eyes. So you have both aspects in Jim's eyes of, okay, this guy, I can work with Bruce Wayne because we've been through a lot together. I know that I can trust him in the future as Commissioner Gordon.
Right.
And on the other side, you know, you've got Batman, you know, building, and, you know, I'm going to be able to trust him. So we're building both sides, both personas of Bruce and Batman up so that he is usable.
I love that sort of, you know, again, Scarecrow does say, I like the darkness. Why would I want light? Because fear lives in the darkness. But Batman also lives in the darkness.
Right.
And that's a really powerful metaphor where he shows up and takes out Scarecrow's men, even in the darkness. And so it's, I live in the darkness, Batman. I mean, we're going to get vain. So, but I loved that he's showing, you know, you're not even safe in the darkness where you're comfortable.
Right.
I can come at you. So it's also that kind of foreshadowing that Batman lives in the dark. He is comfortable without his senses. And to show that in regards to Scarecrow, who has mentioned the dark as his friend, it really hammers that home that Bruce is going to be, you know, comfortable in all situations, the dark, the light, the, you know, everything, with money, without money, with power, without power. And I mean, electricity power.
Right.
So I think it was a very powerful way to show that he's comfortable in the situations where Scarecrow's comfortable. He's also comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if he had gone after Penguin's men, it wouldn't have been the same thing.
Right.
So I loved that, like 100%, 1,000% loved that he took out those guys. And who else did we have? We had Scarecrow, we had Riddler, we had, Penguin. Oh, are we going to talk about Penguin at all? Or
yeah, I mean,
talked about him a little bit, but
yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting to see him develop here and negotiate to speak things out and building who he is. And we're getting, you know, he's got a bad leg. He got it fixed because of this boot thing. And then he gets immediately shot in.
I loved that. That was the best. And we saw that he has held on to this vendetta until he had a chance to actually finish it, which he did in this episode. Yeah, that was a quick turnaround for their first casualty of the year.
Right. Now, I mean, that really surprised me.
No one's ever dead on Gotham. You can even cut their head off and they'll come back. But I have a feeling Tabby's gone.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think so too. I think it was necessary for moving forward because you see her, she tries to kill Penguin. It fails. And she realizes, you know, she gets stabbed. She's bested. And she does not want Barbara to continue. And you hear her say, you know, don't. But by that point,
too late.
Babs has just gone over the edge.
Yeah, and so this gives her motivation.
Right. And man, oh man, how much of a mover and shaker is she in Gotham? She's got the club. She's providing protection. She's getting information. She's there. And then you get this push of losing Tabitha. And just how we talk about it every season, how much she has changed since season one of drifting around and just being attached and basically useless other than being attached to somebody, and how integral she is to moving things forward now. It's just amazing.
Yeah, she's like a CEO or something.
Yeah.
Very
so
powerful.
It's,
So she's giving protection. She is charging people for coming into the club and doing things. And it's all female driven. They've mentioned that. And she's also, you know, got a handle on her part of the city. And I thought that was just so cool that she's got it all together. And then in one fell swoop, she loses her handle on things. And I don't think she's going to lose the machine of, you know, the Siren Club and all that.
No.
But I do think she personally is going to kind of go off the rails a little bit. And, you know, we have a vendetta again. And not just that, but I'm guessing against the whole city, not just Penguin. But, you know, she's going to take it out wherever she can.
Right. There's in this world of Gotham, we've had people who were checks and balances on each other. And those things are slowly being removed because, like, Ed was a check and balance on Penguin.
Right.
And vice versa. And Tabitha and Babs. And those checks and balances are being removed on one way or the other.
Right.
And, you know, it just makes me wonder, getting to the I don't want to live on this planet anymore. Selina is despondent. I mean, she is, you know, tells Bruce, what really got me is being there for you. It was, you know, he was trying to get to you and I got in the way and I got, you know, I'm the one that got hurt. And it's just so, she's so desperate to end it. And you have Bruce desperate to try to help her, desperate enough to go to the witch, which we have this sketchy nurse coming in a couple times.
Very sketchy.
And, you know, I'm like, okay.
She's so shady. Batman couldn't even see her.
She reminds me of, what's her name, a season or two ago, that had the club, so she reminds me of her, but, you know, or, you know, somebody that might be affiliated with the Joker too, because of kind of how she was, but, you know, she brings up the witch and, you know, that's an interesting point because, you know, Harley has a comment about that and I'll save my thoughts for there. But we have this other factor of this witch what will Bruce do to stabilize?
Oh, he's going to go to the witch.
Right.
I mean, 100%, you know, he's going to go to that witch.
Right. And will this fact that getting Selena better is going to drive them further apart?
Right.
It looks like, you know, so this season of pulling these checks and balances away from each other, yeah, so that they just go further into who they are and we know them to be. It's interesting. Right.
And I love that Gordon is pretty much Rambo Gordon, by the way, is what I'm calling him. But he's the most stable person in Gotham right now.
Mm.
Because he still has his precinct. He's not managing things like optimally, but he's got a handle on some things. He's mm-hmm. got Harvey. He's got Lucius. So stable, maybe not 100%, but he is solid in what he believes, what he's ready to do, who he's going to do it with. And he mobilizes at the end of the episode. Suit up, he says. It gave me chills. Because that's Commissioner Gordon. In adversity, in the hardest of times, he is all about justice and saving the city. And there is no more desperate time to save the city than in No Man's Land.
Yeah.
You know, whatever we're calling. But, oh, crazy. I mean, I loved him in his, like, battle gear with the mm-hmm. guns blazing. And it was just great to see him. He's embodying, Ben McKenzie is embodying a young Commissioner Jordan, I think.
Yeah.
Gordon, sorry. A young Commissioner Gordon. Blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Bad Jordan in our in our document. So, yeah, I think he's doing a great job. He's going to lose ground and gain ground throughout the season. But right now, he's got a leg up. He's got more supplies. He kind of bested Penguin a little bit. and he's trying to get a handle on where things sit in the city. And I think getting the troops out there is going to give him more of a foothold. But I do think there's going to be casualties on his side.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, they might be unnamed policemen, but they're going to be casualties. And every one of those policemen is going to be a black hash on his soul. You know, it's going to be part of his darkness is losing mm-hmm. anyone under his command. So I think we're going to see him get more and more dark throughout this season. Because right now he's pretty dark, but he's not, you know, he's still a bright shining star in the darkness. I think we're just going to see him get a bit darker throughout the season. And of course, Bruce.
Right.
With whatever happens with Selena, this witch, do you have any speculation on who this is?
Well, so I'll say this now. I believe it is Ivy.
Okay.
I think that is somebody who has the means and the ability to bring, you know, somebody back to full health and vigor.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's going to take for her to do that for Selena, I'm not sure, but that's my thoughts on it.
Makes a lot of sense.
So we've got some other feedback about that, but that's who I'm putting my money on.
That's fantastic. I have heard people say they think it might be Zatanna because she's a huge part of the Batman mythos.
That would be pretty cool. And out of nowhere,
personally.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when it comes to witches and magic, she is pretty much it for the Batman good guys as far as magic goes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that would be great. I think that's a long shot.
Yeah.
Because they haven't really brought quote unquote magic into the show. And I don't know that that's going to be something they want to do.
Mm.
But I think even a proto-Zatanna would be – fabulous. You know, someone that has a lot of her qualities.
Yeah.
And is not really the full charged Zatanna. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know who it is. You know, there's Lee, there's Ivy, there's Zatanna, there's a few other, you know, options as far as the witch goes. I'm guessing it's a female from how they're discussing it. I mean,
yeah.
So, yeah, I can't wait to see where that goes, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Good Samaritan, Bad City.
Yeah, we, you know, we started on that. You know, it's going to be who out there is wanting to help, and is it genuine? And can they really, what kind of difference can they make, and what kind of price are they going to ask? Are they really being Good Samaritans, or is there a cost behind it?
Right. There's nothing without a cost in Gotham.
Yeah.
Or outside of Gotham, in the Gotham universe. Now, I saw places where people are speculating on that as well. It's female. And in No Man's Land, it was the debut of Batgirl. Now, we know that they've already written some characters differently. And Batgirl is Commissioner Gordon's daughter, but in the comics.
Right.
But this is Elseworlds. So we could get a kind of proto-Batgirl.
Mm.
It was also the birth of Harley Quinn, but we know Echo is kind of that Harley Quinn character, so that's not it. I don't know. The modern Batgirl is known as Orphan, so we might see kind of a version that takes on that Orphan. Who did we get across the bridge last season? Wasn't there a girl that they got across the bridge?
Well, Jim rescued a little girl.
Right. So maybe some relative of hers?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But yeah, I cannot wait. I literally cannot wait. I love it. And like you said, the book ending between the government official and the Good Samaritan, fantastic writing. And, you know, the way they contrast and compare the different characters by mashing them together.
Right.
Just fantastic, you know, putting Batman up against Scarecrow, putting Lucius kind of getting the tech. So we're getting that whole storyline where he is in charge of getting tech for the precinct and for Batman, and for, you know, what he's going to become. and the whole Selina storyline, I think, is super intriguing. I mean, so much
potential. It is. Yeah, and one thing I really, you know, I've really enjoyed this series. Like you said, it's an Elseworlds.
Right.
But what it was really cool, I've watched the first three episodes of Young Justice Outsiders on the DC streaming service. And I realize now how much I learned about different DC characters through the original Outsider series.
Right.
That I'm seeing now. And they're different because Young Justice is, you know, a kind of an Elseworlds thing too.
Right.
But it's interesting to see because each person gives you different aspects of that character. So even though it may not be quote unquote in continuity, they give you a fuller picture of who that is because, I mean, like Black Lightning is one of the ones that plays a role in these first couple episodes. And, you know, looking at that character who is younger than the character in the series. And so it's very interesting with these Elseworlds because with Gotham, we're getting to see character aspects of who Batman and these other characters are that we might not get to see normally or might have, you know, that they're what they were, but we just didn't get to see them in the comics. And so that's what I appreciate in this day and age. We're so lucky that we've got the comics, we've got these different series that we can look at and gain further insight in the characters and say, okay, is this the, you know, maybe the best telling of this character? Maybe not, but we get to see aspects that we might have missed otherwise. So right. I don't think, you know, it's necessarily a lose-lose, because like I think for the most part with DC TV on both CW, Fox, and the DC streaming service, they seem to be a little more together than the movies, but all of them give us aspects of the characters that we can, you know, kind of appreciate and like the character more.
Right. And that's what I like about Elseworlds, is it shows us a side of a character that isn't necessarily canon.
Right.
But they can play with it a little bit more, you know, put their own twist on it instead of sticking within these strident guidelines. And
right.
That, you know, I've always, from day one, taken Gotham as an Elseworlds. And mm-hmm. I tell people who say to me, but it's not Batman. Right, it's Gotham. And, I mean, it's a whole different animal. And this is a story, while it's Elseworlds, it's also before the Batman mythos. So
right.
Not only can they play with the characters outside of canon, they can also play with it as, you know, proto versions of everybody. So they have so much leeway in this show, and they've really, really taken that challenge and run with it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, but they've given us something, you know, movie worthy.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Okay, so shall we go on to Meanwhile?
Yes. Yay! So we got some pre-show feedback from Team Huntress, aka Erin, and she gave us some news about Batwoman, and we're gonna get to that later on in the news section. But thank you so much for sending that to us, Erin.
Oh yeah, I love the link on us. I mm-hmm. always click right on them to see what she sent us. And I loved Batwoman in the Elseworlds crossover.
Oh, yes.
She was one of the best parts of that crossover, I thought. I mean, we didn't get a lot of Supergirl, so, you know. You know, we had to get some female representation there. Mm-hmm. So Harley Quinn, a.k.a. Jess, has sent us feedback, and she says, hi, wave emoji. Hi, Harley. just finished watching the premiere, and it was good to be back. I'm going to miss this show once we're done, but it looks like the Batgirl pilot was ordered. Well, Batwoman pilot, I'm guessing, is what she yeah. means, right? Yeah. Yay! solid start, but I found myself just wanting to watch the next episode without a whole lot of theories. Also the reason for the email instead of voicemail. Yeah, I do like speculating mm-hmm. on stuff, but I also don't want to know.
Yeah.
So there, you know, I'm kind of torn. do we think Lee is the witch? She could be. Aside from Jeremiah, she's the only person from the main cast we didn't see. Can't wait for this season to unravel. And I think unravel is a good term.
Yeah.
It's going to be fast and furious. Jess, a.k.a. Harley Quinn. Thanks, Jess.
Thank you. I'm glad she's caught up and enjoying this first episode. Mm. And we have some voice feedback from Bat Jordan. So here he is.
What's up, Gotham Undercover? This is Bat Jordan Valdez calling in from Georgia. And my goodness, what a season 5 premiere. What a way to kick off this season. I absolutely love this episode. For me, being the massive Batcat shipper I was, parts of it were definitely devastating and heartbreaking. And seeing Bruce and Selina's, their interactions this episode, it was just super sad. And seeing the state Selena was in, just, I mean, just the really dark place she's gone to where she almost killed herself in this episode. I mean, it was truly heartbreaking, but I know that happier times are coming for them. There was a Batcat kiss that was teased in one of the recent promos that I am so excited about. So I am really hoping for a lot more happy Batcat moments like we got in 4B, but definitely this episode, I was happy to see them together and to find out that Selena actually, well, maybe it's not best for a medical condition. We don't know, but that she didn't get out of Gotham. But I was surprised about that because I didn't think we were going to get, at least in the first couple episodes, Bruce and Selena together so much. And since she was still there, we did. And Bruce keeping his promise when he said he was going to be there for her at the end of last season. So I love that aspect of it, though. And Bruce being for her, there for her, that was really sweet. Loved it as a massive Batcat shipper. So, yeah, can't wait to see where things go with them. The stuff with Scarecrow in this episode, I mean, my goodness, he continues to be terrifying. I love that we got sort of what felt a little bit like the Batman Begins doc scene when Bruce had his night vision goggles on and he was going through and you saw sort of him coming after Scarecrow's henchmen from the criminal's perspective, sort of like Christopher Nolan shot the iconic Batman Begins doc scene. So I love that. Love getting another Bruce and Gordon rooftop encounter. You know, I'm hoping for a lot more of those this season. But yeah, ultimately, this episode, what a way to kick off the season. As devastating as parts of it were for me as a Batcat shipper, I know that happier times are ahead for my OTP, and I just love seeing Bruce and Selena together on screen again and seeing all these characters, these particular interpretations of them, Gotham's versions of them, back finally after this long wait for season 5. So, yeah, I am off to go watch the beginning of season 3 of Young Justice Outsiders because that drops in just a few minutes. So I can't wait for that. But I will talk to you all later. Batcat forever from the first kiss to the last. Bye-bye.
Bad Jordan. I'm a Batcat shipper too. So I am also devastated, but I'm also encouraged by the fact that Bruce is simply devoted to making sure she gets well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's pretty encouraging to see. And yeah, Selena's not in a good place, but that doesn't mean she won't be.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Fantastic feedback.
Yeah. All right. We've got written feedback from Chris. Welcome back. It seems like a lifetime since Gotham was last on.
It does.
Mm. I spent my birthday in the hospital with a brain bleed, much like Kevin Smith with Infinity Wars when he had the heart attack. Watching Gotham at home was a motivating factor in my recovery, but that's not why you called. But let's just say, welcome back, Chris. Yeah. We're just so glad that you're better and that you're up to giving us feedback and that Gotham kind of helped motivate you.
Right? That's a good thing.
Definitely. All right. He starts off in his play-by-play. Anyone else get the feeling of the Untouchables when Gordon, Harvey, Oswald, and Ed strolling out at the beginning?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. I find myself wishing instead of We'll Meet Again, they played Midnight with the Stars and You from The Shining.
That would have been much creepier.
Yeah.
I liked We'll Meet this one because it gave that timeless feeling again where we don't exactly know what time period this is set in.
Right. For my third classic movie reference.
So we have The Untouchables, The Shining, and...
Yeah. Jim breaking down who controls what areas reminded me of Don Corleone telling us which families controlled areas of New York at the meeting of the five families.
So The Godfather.
Yeah.
Very nice. Nice trifecta there.
Yeah. It somehow does not shock me that Scarecrow is going rather gruesome route of crucifying people. Yeah, that was...
He's dark.
Yeah. Scarecrow is going to quickly become my a favorite of mine this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Bruce hunting Scarecrow's men reminds me of the Arkham games, picking them off one at a time as the final person gets more and more scared.
Yep.
It didn't quite end for Bruce the way it does for Batman, though.
Nope.
Yeah. Please say that Tabby is not going to be Harley. She has grown on me, but I just can't take that.
Yeah,
well,
I don't think right about that. I think that's going to go.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, not to say that there's a chance that Tabby will come back. I mean, she might, but I don't think she's going to be Harley.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. She wasn't in that well, you'll see it in our blog post, the promo images of the characters for this season. Mm-hmm. She's not in there.
Right.
So, yeah. Continuing on, you will win or you will die. Looks like Harvey shares the Cersei Lannister outlook on life. Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah. Well, Cersei, she's definitely got a handle on the whole Lannister family. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know that that's 100% a bad thing, but.
Yeah. Okay, I don't read the spoilers. Who's the witch? Well, we've kind of speculated on that.
Yeah, speculated. I don't think anyone knows for sure except the powers that be.
Yeah, yeah. Good way to kick off the final season. It will be interesting to see how they get from day 87 to day 361. With my rating, please permit me this indulgence. I know he's most associated with Marvel and Batman and is DC, but in honor of Stan Lee, I'm giving this episode 8.5 True Believers and one big Excelsior.
That's fine. He did a little bit for DC. I'm okay with that.
He had a big influence.
Yeah, he did. And comics in general.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing wrong with giving him a shout out.
Yeah. Yeah. At the midway point, Scarecrow had the Batmobile keys in his pocket. Hey, he's still the coolest looking villain on Gotham.
Agreed.
But then Oswald swooped in and claimed them for himself. It was his challenging of ancient Roman emperors by discarding steaks for being overcooked that turned the tide. But the crying over getting shot in the same foot was that was what just fixed that sealed the deal. Yeah. Just got fixed, sealed the deal. Thanks, guys. Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I love Chris's feedback always. Yeah. I love his little bullet points.
Yeah.
And challenging of ancient Roman empires. I mean, you know, these sticks are awful. Off with his head. I mean, he was very Roman Empire, giving it to his dog, Ed. So, yeah, that was fantastic. Definitely kind of shows where his head is at just in that one little scene. So fantastic. Todd gives us feedback, and he says, Penguin was the highlight of the premiere. My leg, I just fixed that, LMAO. Kind of feel spoiled because I know what happens to Selena with which Bruce find hint. The big duh moment, of course, the chopper goes down the moment it gets in there. Who thinks Tabby's coming back somehow? Yeah, we're not sure. I have a sneaking suspicion maybe some Ra's a ghoul remnant in Babs transferred in the kiss. That's interesting. Just a feeling, nothing stays dead long on these shows. Yeah, that's kind of our mantra, isn't it, on all these shows? Is you're not dead until you're really, really dead.
Like missile through
right, or burnt to a crisp,
just
a pile of dust. I think you can pretty much guarantee if they burn into a little pile of ash, they're dead.
Yeah,
a missile breaking them into a million pieces, they're dead.
Yeah.
so yeah, but Tabby is intact and under a sheet, so you never know. Seriously,
you never know.
Yeah. So good speculation, Todd. I like that. I said Roz, but they keep calling him Rash. Rash Agul's Babs connection kiss.
Yeah.
That's an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, definitely. All right, and closing out our feedback, it's our own Green Butterfly. Yay!
Scarlet Cougar, X-Force, what sector are you in? I can't find anybody. To be fair, I'm trying to stay pretty high. Gotta stay clear of that fear toxin. And clear of stray bullets that are ravaging this city. How very interesting. Ed is trying to throw the Riddler away. But I think the reason why his memory works when he's in his Riddler persona is that his flight or flight instincts see the Riddler half of his personality as a stronger personality to have in this very violent world. And Selina hasn't even seen the darkness on the streets, but she's really suffering with a darkness within herself. Penguin is so foolish in the way he's gambling resources in this scarce time. And no one's seen that clown, Jeremiah. But I did see someone clowning around at GCPD. Do you suppose it's Harley Quinn? There is an amazing story brewing here, cut off from the rest of the world in Gotham City. Undercover agents, get me a message if you can. I can't bring in as much relief supplies as a helicopter, but my camouflage is better than a helicopter. So I've been able to get small amounts of goods in and out. If you let me know what sector you're in, perhaps I can bring you a sandwich. This episode gets 10 out of 10. A city controlled by chaos, but in the darkness, a light brings hope. Have a super week. Green Butterfly out.
Very poetic.
Yes, indeed.
And I think I'll take roast beef with lettuce and tomato mustard mayonnaise.
Wow. Turkey with spinach and cheese, please.
That's good, yeah. I could see Green Butterfly bringing us sandwiches. Definitely be on the side of justice and the American way.
Definitely.
So, yeah, get your orders in.
Hey, you know, if you want to leave your feedback, this is how you do it.
To have your feedback heard or read on Gotham Undercover, please submit it to us by our weekly deadline of Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. You can call us at 304-837-2278 or go to our feedback site at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out text, attach an audio file, or use the provided SpeakPipe widget. Follow our show on Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitter at GothamGSM, or join our popular Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/GothamUndercover. To get a full listing of all of our Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network shows, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com. And to leave a 5-star review for this or other podcasts, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. And now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Oh, I love that John made us a new drop-in.
Yes, our own Silver Vox.
Thank you, Silver Vox. Definitely. It gives me chills when he says all that stuff. He's just so brooding. So shall we talk about what's on next week?
Yes, let's do. How about you take the next week and I'll take the other section.
Sure. So next week on Gotham, Trespassers, Gordon and Bullock investigate a location where several kids have been kidnapped. Barbara, and I'm guessing that's where the little kid came from, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Barbara proves to be an unlikely ally to Gordon. Meanwhile, Bruce looks into an alleged witch with healing powers for Selina, and Enigma deals with demons of his own on the all-new Trespassers episode of Gotham, which airs Thursday, January 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific.
That's right. Mm. And we've got photos up in the Facebook group for Trespassers and the following episode, Penguin, Our Hero. Yeah. So
funny.
So, you know, check those out. Check those out. And we are so thankful that we were able to get press access again with Fox so that we can have images and descriptions of episodes so that we can share with all of you.
Yes, thank you, Fox.
Mm-hmm. And turning to Batwoman news. So this comes from TV Line. Good news for the 60% of you who voted in favor of a Batwoman series. The CW has officially handed a pilot order to the project, which stars Orange Is the New Black's Ruby Rose in the title role. Rose debuted as Batwoman in the multi-part Arrowverse crossover Elseworlds. It was also announced that the Arrow/Flash vet David Nutter will direct the pilot, and he's done some other stuff as well.
He has a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, so he's very good at doing pilots, so that's good.
He also did Entourage, which I'm worried about, but the rest of his stuff is good.
Yeah. Slated for a potential fall 2019 premiere, Batwoman would follow Kate Kane, the second incarnation of Batwoman character in the DC Comics lore, introduced in 2016. Yeah. Sorry. Who is described as an out lesbian and highly trained street fighter who is primed to snuff out the failing city's criminal resurgence. And it's interesting, we learned some potential casting descriptions earlier this year, and other characters reportedly being cast are Kate's father, Colonel Kane, who she has some very interesting dealings with, Batwoman's Victorian era styled arch enemy Alice, and one that sounds like Renee Montoya. Yay. So a love interest in the GCPD for her.
Fabulous. And that means we're going to see the GCPD most likely, which is great. I mean, I think we're going to get our Gotham back.
Yeah. And that's true. I mean, our kind of goal here, and it works out well if CW picks up the series, we'll transfer over from covering Gotham City in Gotham to covering Gotham City on
Yay,
with Batwoman. Timing. So
now we just got to get Timeless on Hulu, and I'm all set. Timeless, come back, please. Yeah, I'm really digging her character. She was great on Elseworlds, like I said. And it's exciting to see that they're casting Alice. She is a multifaceted villain and very deep in character lore. So I would love to see her actually, you know, appear right at the outset on the show. She would be an incredible foil for Batman.
Yeah. I've dug in a little of what's been available on the the DC streaming service, which has got like really her first Batwoman's first arc, and so I've got to go back and check because they keep adding content from time to time about different characters, so I need to check and see if there's more info because I don't have as much history with Kate Kane as I do with some of the other Batverse.
Now, there was an original Batwoman back in, I think, the early Silver Age. I'm not quite sure when that was. But this is a whole different incarnation of her. And she is not that old. I mean, 12 years is not a long time ago when it comes to comic book eras. So she is definitely a very modern character. She doesn't have that whole amount of lore in back of her that Batman and Superman and those characters have. So I love that we're getting this fresh character. Like the Flash, who's on CW, is back all the way back to the beginning. The
Golden Age, yeah.
Right, Golden Age. And Green Arrow, again, one of the founding members of the Justice League. And we have Flash also, one of the founding members. And Black Lightning, who is a much older character than Batwoman. So I love that we're getting this much more modern, where they can kind of have a lot of freedom in what they do. They can go outside the boundaries of her character. I like that they're staying true to who she is from the comics. But again, they have freedom to kind of go off on their own with her being such a new character.
Right,
I'm
right.
Excited. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, definitely. So that is going to wrap us up for this week. But man, oh man, we are so, so happy to be back with you. So happy to be podcasting on Gotham. It is just so good to have all of you leaving such great feedback this episode. It's been awesome.
Very
awesome.
Insightful, smart, also witty and fun. You guys are some of the best feedbackers ever. I just love you guys. And also super active in our Facebook group. So
yes,
if you
want indeed.
To contribute in Facebook, you know, we'll read those comments as well. So please join in there. Just look for Gotham Undercover on Facebook, and we can't wait to talk to you.
Yeah. So we will see you next week.